Welcome in the name of our crucified Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you this evening. Good Friday, one of the most holy days, and certainly one of the most somber days in our church year. One of only two times in the entire year when black is the color of the day. We began our Lenten journey on Ash Wednesday with black on the altar, black on our foreheads, but those ashes in the form of a cross. Because even though we are mortal, destined for the grave, and full of sin, we have hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished on this day that we call good. Just a couple of words on our worship service for this evening. The Tenebrae service is structured just a little bit differently than our normal services here. Our opening hymn for tonight is printed out in our bulletin. The sermon comes very early in the service. And following the offering, the Tenebrae, or the service of darkness, begins. And it is basically a series of readings and hymns. Readings and hymns. And as we progress through the readings, the lights will be dimmed. You might not notice much difference at first. The darkness will get progressively greater, and especially when we get to the Good Friday Gospel, John 18 and 19. The lights will be growing less and less and less. We'll make sure that we have enough light, at least I hope, make sure that we have enough light to be able to sing out of our hymnal. But by the end of our last reading, all of the lights will be extinguished with the exception of the Paschal candle. The Paschal candle will be removed. We will hear a loud noise symbolizing the earthquake and the closing of the tomb after Jesus' death. We'll pray the Lord's Prayer softly, together. The Paschal candle will come back out because Christ is our hope and is the light of the world that no darkness can overcome. And then we'll turn just enough light on so that people can leave safely. You can stay and pray and meditate as long as you like on this Good Friday evening. And we pray that God's word for us, tetelestai, it is finished, would be your hope and your joy, not only tonight, but each and every day of your life. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for this special season and for this special week, an opportunity in the midst of our sin and the sinful world that we live in, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Heavenly Father, we call this day good. It was not good for Jesus, beaten, mocked, ridiculed, crucified, dead, buried. But the work of Jesus is indeed good for us. Heavenly Father, tonight, help us to ponder not only on our sin, but our only Savior from sin, the it is finished work of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus. It's in His powerful, precious name that we worship and pray. Amen. Amen. We sing the hymn.
We stand for prayer. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed, to be given into the hand of sinners, and to suffer death on the cross, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated for the sermon hymn 438.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this evening, the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 19th chapter, the 30th verse. Jesus says, "It is finished." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, throughout this Lenten season, we've had a theme, a very important theme, one that comes from our Lutheran confessions, specifically the Large Catechism, knowing God perfectly. To know who God is and to know what to expect from Him. That's what knowing God perfectly is all about. And it is impossible to know God perfectly unless we know Good Friday. Now, just about everybody in the world knows that Jesus died on Good Friday. That's not enough. It's not enough to know the historical fact of Jesus' death at the hand of the Romans on a cross. There are many people that know this fact, but have no idea why Jesus died, and have no comprehension that Jesus died for them. Over the last 3 weeks or so, I've been hearing a political advertisement that is encouraging people to be against capital punishment. And who's the main character in the ad? Jesus! Jesus! You know, Jesus, who was a victim of justice. Jesus, who, if there wouldn't have been capital punishment, wouldn't have died. Aside from prostituting Jesus for your own political whims, this is just absolutely wrong, absolutely false. Jesus was not crucified because of an accident. He was not crucified because of mistaken identity or mixed up DNA. Jesus, the Lamb who goes uncomplaining forth. Jesus is crucified freely and willingly on Calvary's cross. All of this according to the Scriptures, clearly taught throughout God's Word. Jesus, during His earthly life, again and again and again said, "The Son of Man will be arrested by sinners, beaten, mocked, crucified, and on the third day rise again." He spoke about this plainly. He knew His mission, and He came here to fulfill this mission, to offer Himself as a sacrifice for the life of the world. To offer Himself as a sacrifice for sin. My friends, if this was happening today, imagine the uproar. Imagine the threats of lawsuits with regard to an innocent person being condemned. Cruel and unusual punishment, right? Those arguments were alive and well back then. But for Jesus, everyone is silent. No one comes to His defense. In fact, not even Jesus comes to His own defense. Jesus remains silent. If there was ever a time when someone who was innocent should have cried out about a miscarriage of justice, it was here, it was now. But Jesus' mission was not to justify Himself. Jesus' mission is to justify us, you, me, sinners, This is why Jesus came. And as Jesus hangs, God in the flesh, suspended between heaven and hell on Calvary's cross, He says, Tetelestai, one word in the Greek, it is finished. What is finished? A little masquerade about a rabbi who thinks he's a Messiah? No. The it is your salvation. The it is forgiveness. Everything necessary for forgiveness, life, and salvation is accomplished by the suffering servant Jesus. That's right. This is what God, through Isaiah, tells us. Our Savior, the Messiah, King of kings and Lord of lords, will be a suffering servant. Stricken, smitten, afflicted by God. Surely, bearing our griefs and carrying our sorrows. Wounded for our transgressions. Crushed for our iniquities. Crushed for our iniquities. We're the sinners, not Jesus. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. But the Lord has laid on Him the guilt, the shame, the iniquity of us all. My friends, when Jesus cries out, "It is finished," He means it completely. John called Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He doesn't say sins. He says sin. This condition of sin. Sin in total. If He would have said sins, then we might think, well, you know, did He get them all? Did He miss a few? What about those really big bad ones that are haunting me in my past? No! It is finished. The sin of the world. The Lamb of God has been offered for you, for me, and for the life of the world. Jesus Christ is our true High Priest. He is the priest and the offering. And His offering is once and for all. In total. Complete. Jesus takes every sin from every sinner into Himself and onto Himself. He who knew no sin, Jesus, became sin for us. This divine mystery can never be fully comprehended, but it can certainly be appreciated and believed. My friends, do you realize the consequences if it's not finished? If it's not finished, then it's up to you. It's up to you to work it out. If your sin totally, completely is not on Jesus, guess where it is? It's on you. The consequences for it not being finished are hellacious, literally. But thanks be to God. Jesus' words are true. It is finished. We don't have to offer up Jesus again and again as some sort of a sacrifice. We don't have to add our sacrifice of good works to the work that Jesus did to somehow make His work better or complete. Being justified by Jesus totally and completely means that we are free. We can stop justifying ourselves. We can stop trying to justify our actions or our inactions, our thoughts, our words, our deeds. We are free to come clean. We are free to admit who we are. Poor, miserable sinners. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Truly free to love God and to serve one another. My friends, this "it is finished" word of Jesus is for you. It is for you. Jesus has worked a mighty work, a perfect life, a sacrificial death, a glorious resurrection. It is finished for you. I wish Jesus' "it is finished" word meant that we were finished sinning. We're not. We sin daily, and we sin much. And there is one other thing that is not finished. What is not finished is the proclamation of Jesus' "it is finished" work to the four corners of the world until Jesus comes again in His power and His might and His glory. Why? Because we're sinners. We need this good news. We need this forgiveness. We need this freedom that only Christ can bring. And so this "it is finished" word of Jesus, justification by grace through faith on account of the person and work of Jesus, this word will not stop. It is not finished. It will go forth to you, on you, and through you until the very last day. And until that day, rejoice. Your sins are forgiven, every one of them. How can you be sure? Jesus says so. It is finished for you. Know what to expect and receive from God. The forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our sin, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the Word of God, we are bold to confess our faith in Him. This evening we use the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're in the inside back cover of our hymnal, if you need to follow along. Please stand as we confess the faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. As a reminder, since there will be no announcements at the end of our service today and we'll be leaving in silence, we will gather again tomorrow for the Easter Vigil, the service that spans the gap from Good Friday to Easter Sunday, 6:30 tomorrow evening, a very special and unique service. On Easter Sunday, we'll gather at 6 a.m. for our sunrise service. That'll be a special sunrise service, different than the other services that day. Easter breakfast following. That 6 a.m. service will also be broadcast live on AM 1240 KFOR radio. Our Sunday schedule, 8:30 and 10:30 worship, 8:30 and 10:30, no Sunday school or Bible study on Sunday, so we can get all three services in. We pray that God would richly bless us as we have extra opportunities to hear of God's great love through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. At this time, we worship God with our gifts and offerings. For well over 1,000 years, Good Friday has been celebrated with a tenebrae or service of darkness. We recount not only God's word that points us forward to the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus, but we also, by God's grace, hear the horrific and yet real events that Jesus suffered on our behalf. The service of Tenebrae.
The first reading for Good Friday is written in Isaiah chapters 52 and 53. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what they have heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hymn 451.
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted,
reading from Hosea chapter 6. Come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us, that He may heal us. He has struck us down, and He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up, that we may live before Him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifices, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Reading from Hebrews chapters 4 and 5. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverence. Although He was a son, He learned obedience through what He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In 431. Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Good Friday Gospel, according to St. John. We sing hymn 454, verses 1 through 3.
When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost no one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" Hymn 450, stanza 1.
Thank you.
So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl, who kept watch at the door, and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of that man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard what I have said to them. They know what I said." When he said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of the disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and a rooster crowed. We sing.
Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, So you are a king? Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? They cried out again, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. We sing.
Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him. So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, Behold the man! When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to the law, He ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He enters his headquarters again and said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, Will you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Jesus answered him, You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at the place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of the preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, Behold your king! They cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. We sing.
So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. We sing.